Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors around here. Welcome to Center Church. So glad that you guys came to check us out or hang out with us. Shout out to all our friends joining us online. Say hello in the chat area. We have a couple leaders jumping in on there. We would love to see you and say hi. Go ahead and share this on your page. Give us a like. Show us, you know, drop an emoji in the chat section there so we can see you here today. But just like what Carla said, we're launching a brand new series called Relationship Goals, man. Relationship Goals. And off the top, okay, I want you to understand that I'm approaching this series, okay, as someone who's like on the journey, all right, like with you. I want to come kind of humbly here as a fellow struggler on this journey of life. And I have much to learn as a husband, but I've also been blessed to be poured into from other couples, like in this circle and also beyond, right, this place, who's really spoken life and love and even sometimes a hard truth into my marriage. And I'm not the love guru, okay? I totally understand that. But I'd like to unpack some life-giving principles from the Bible, from God's word, on what he has to say about relationships, right? And there's some, you know, nuggets of wisdom from God's perspective that I believe that we can grab hold of for the month of February. So in this series, I want you to know that we'll be speaking to three groups of people. Okay, you might be like in here today, like, Josh, I'm not married, or, you know, maybe, you know, I'm divorced, or like, I'm not like in that place in my life anymore. Totally okay, because we're going to be speaking to three groups of people. First of all, I want you to write this down. We're going to be speaking to those seeking marriage. Come on, young adults, let's get this bread, right? Those seeking marriage. Okay, like, man, I want to get married one day. It's kind of my dream, and I want to find Mr. and Mrs. Right. Not Mr. and Mrs. Right all the time, you know what I'm saying? But that might be you, okay? Might be a young adult, mature single, right? This is the stage of your life where you're dating and you're kind of navigating the prospect of the perfect match, okay? Maybe you've been married in the past, and you know, it didn't work out, and you're considering what that would look like this time around, okay? Let me pause and say this. This is a great series for those considering marriage, right? Seeking marriage, but we also want to speak fresh life and new breath to those who've been divorced. You're welcome here. That's the DNA of our church. There's immense healing. There's immense support available to anybody in that stage of their life here today, okay? Those seeking marriage. Second group of people that we're talking to is those surviving marriage. Come on, somebody. Those surviving marriage. Maybe you're in a place where you're just like surviving your relationship. Like, man, you got a couple kids, right? Trying to juggle work, recitals, dinner, laundry, like pandemic. You're on survival mode, right? And after a while, you're just, man, Josh, like we talked about in Divine Direction, I'm just trying to hold it all together. Man, we're just trying to hold it all together, Josh. I'm just trying to keep on swimming, you know? If you didn't listen to Divine Direction Part 1 or 2, man, listen to those on your off time. I'm just trying to hold it all together. And maybe in your marriage, it's turned from like passion to pessimism. And you're surviving. And maybe you feel like you've given up hope. That's like not gonna get any better. And maybe your marriage might be on the fringes and, you know, you feel lost. Like, man, this is supposed to be like my happily ever after. Like, am I happy ever? It might be you trying to just survive marriage. Lastly, I want to speak to those who are trying to save your marriage. You're trying to save your marriage. It might be like, Josh, hey, we're in a rut. Hey, you know, I'm not ready to call it quits. Maybe we haven't given up. It does feel like it sometimes, though. You know, we want to work it out. We want to try something different. We want to look for a better option in life, right? That's you. Can I just encourage you today? If you lost all hope, hey, borrow some of my hope today. Borrow some of my hope today. Borrow hope from others around here who's navigated those same waters, guys. Borrow some hope from us. And, you know, we'll figure it out together. So let me encourage you, right, with this. If that's you, if God can raise his son from the dead, he surely can raise a dead marriage back to life. Come on. It's not because Josh knows it all. It's because Josh knows Jesus. Confident. confident in that. That's right. Okay. It's not easy, right, guys? Those who are kind of been at the game for a little bit now, take some work. All the answers to like all your relational problems won't be answered today. Understand, there's like no magical series that's gonna like fix all your relationships, right? The things that you're experiencing. But I will say this, there's incredible hope available because there's a God who offers that to you today. It's incredible hope for you. I can promise you that. I'm gonna show you a picture here. Woo, come on, man. Hey, back when I had a chin, come on, somebody. Look, Adam's apple, I don't have that anymore. That left a few years ago. But there's a picture of me and my wife, Brianna, when we first started dating. Goodness gracious, look at us, man. No wonder she fell in love with me. Oh, my wife's gorgeous, and this is like one of our, I think it's our first year anniversary of dating. And, you know, we went to Disneyland, of course. That's where we always go. And just to give you a little snapshot of our love story, you know, my wife, Brianna, and I, we actually met on a place called Instagram, all right? So, you know, go figure, millennials, right? We just kind of slid into those DMs. Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? Did that thing. And, hey, guys, it worked out. Hey, like, I made it. But fun fact, on our first date, actually, Brianna, she didn't realize that it was a date, to tell you the truth. I'm not that, you know, like, I might have some swag on Sunday, but no, I just kind of like messed a lot of things up there. And she didn't even, realize that it was a date. She actually was gonna cancel, actually, on me that day, but her grandfather said, you know, like, just give him a chance. Thank you, Grandpa Ron. I appreciate you, I love you, man. And he convinced her to go. He's like, if anything, free coffee, right? Free coffee. Who doesn't like free coffee, man? Come on. And we began to kind of fall into bliss, right? And she was enamoring me with her beauty. And, you know, I made her laugh, all right? That was like my thing. Conversations were easy, and we had this common ground of faith and of Jesus, and it was incredibly blissful. You know, when me and Bree first got married, okay, like, again, I'm really new to the game, guys. We got married in 2017. We both stepped into it with these very high expectations from each other. How many couples in the house knows what I'm talking about? We stepped into it with a lot of high expectations. And I came in thinking, right, like, hey, I'm like this knight in shining armor, you know, I got the princess, newbie, you know, like I was, you know, hey, we're gonna have this fairy tale love story, like, expectations. I'm gonna come home. Ooh, I'm about to get in trouble here. I'm gonna come home to like a clean house and a hot meal. Come on, somebody. Right, man. The house is always gonna look like something out of a Joanna Gaines, like, you know, magazine. It's just gonna be awesome for her. She's gonna come home to a hunk with a six pack, not a party ball. You know what I'm saying? She's gonna come home to a man of God who's gonna meet her every need, right? Emotional, physical need, a shoulder to cry on, like the strong, sensitive, like, man of God. And we came in with very high expectations. And couple that with like the foo factor. You know what the foo factor is? Not the fool factor, but the foo for the F-O-O, the family of origin factor. Came in with that. Different cultures, raised different ways. Like not just ethnic culture, but the culture that was like, you know, modeled for you at home, right? We came in with two different kind of thoughts. Relational patterns that have been passed down from our parents, from our families, ways of either dealing with conflict or like, hey, we're gonna like sweep that under the rug. Knows what I'm talking about. We experience those things and we kind of drag a lot of that relational, emotional culture into our relationships, correct? A lot of that stuff comes with it. I'll tell you what, I didn't realize, I'm gonna be candid for a second, I didn't realize how much pressure I was putting on my bride. A lot of pressure to be at this standard. In my mind, I thought like, hey, this is how I grew up, this is how it needs to be. Hey, like why is it not like that? And we talked and struggled, argued, can I be real? We argued and struggled. We raised our voices, come on, don't, and struggled. And hey, why can't you do this way? Hey, why can't you just listen before you like fly off the handle? Hey, Josh, why can't you just put the toilet seat down, man? Like it's not that hard. Like, what's going on? Full disclosure, I'm sure there have been times where me and Bree would just lay in bed at night and think, man, did I marry the wrong person? Did I marry, like, the person that God didn't really have for me? If you've been married for any length of time or in relationships for any length of time, maybe you understand how that feels. Oh man, did I miss the mark somewhere? And that's what I want to unpack today as we jump into it, into relationship goals, because according to the Bible, you always marry the wrong person. You always marry the wrong person. Hey, if you're single, you always date the wrong person. Because according to God, there's a big problem in relationships. And the problem is that it always involves two sinners. It always involves two people with hang-ups and hurts. See, if you marry the wrong person, so did she. If you marry the wrong person, so did he. Two sinners. And it's our sin and selfishness that actually makes us incompatible. That's what the Bible says. We have flaws. We have struggles. We all have hurts and hang-ups. Hey, that's the truth of life. But this is what that means. That means that we need God to do some work inside of us. Come on. We need God to do some work inside of us. We need him to do some renovation inside of here. Okay, in you, in me. You get a renovation. You got kind of Oprah. Like, you get a renovation. We all need a renovation inside of here. That's what we need. So I want to start us off in the book of Ephesians. I'm a little nervous. You know, I'm saying a lot of stuff today. In this passage, the Apostle Paul, he actually quotes from the book of Genesis, and he writes about God's design for relationships, but specifically actually marriage. And I pray that no matter where you're at, you know, you're single, dating, married, trying to save your relationship, that gives you this divine insight from a different perspective, okay? It's going to be up on the screens. It says this. I like this verse. Ephesians chapter 5. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. That's a marriage relationship. Verse 32, this is a profound mystery. Everybody say mystery. It's a profound mystery. Can I be real right now? Marriage is a mystery. Marriage is, can I get an amen? Like, marriage is like, man, like, what's going on? And sometimes I feel like the downgraded version of like Scooby-Doo, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have like all the pieces, all the clues like to the puzzle, but like I can't put it together. Like, babe, throw me a bone. I can't figure it out. Like, marriage is a mystery. And when describing marriage, Paul actually uses the Greek word, we'll put that back up here, mysterion. Or mysterion, just to be a little bit more accurate. Mysterion. Kind of sounds like a Marvel character, doesn't it? Mysterion. And what it means is this. It's hidden or hard to understand. Amen, right? It's hidden. It's hard to understand. I'll tell you what. There have been many times where Bree and I would like sit back, maybe after like a hard discussion, maybe after going round and round of no, like, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, like, go round and round, arguing, disagreeing, and we just be like baffled. Like, dude, this marriage thing is, it's a mystery. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Mysterion, hidden, hard to understand, but see, that word mysterion also has another meaning, and it's this. It means divine insight. Actually means divine insight, meaning it's a transcendent truth that God gives to us or reveals to us through his Holy Spirit. Mysterion. For us to see a deeper truth. And the truth is this, we're all incompatible. We're all the wrong person. We're all just normal people with hurts, hang-ups, and struggles because guess what? Hey, we're all sinners. We all mess up. And once you come to the realization that neither you nor your partner are perfect, that just might liberate you today. That just might liberate your life. You might just get set free today to embrace the one you're with all their weaknesses, hello, come on, and all their flaws. And it's still going to feel like a mystery. It's still going to take a lot of work. But God's word promises to give us divine insight for relationship goals that will last the test of time. Amen? God's word. If you're taking notes this morning, I want us to look at a couple thoughts. Go ahead and write this down. Here's the first one. Let's talk about the mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage. If we're going to do an examination, right? If we were to do like this kind of triage examination of relationships in today's society, and we stop and we did like some vital signs. Hey, I'm going to do like, you know, what is the heart rate at? Where's the heartbeat at? Like, what is that? You know, where are your levels? You know, how are they doing today? If we look at the symptoms in marriage in this modern age, we're going to notice a couple of trends. I want you to write this down. First, we see that there's a decline in marriage. There's a decline in marriage for the first time in our nation's history. More adults 18 years or older are single, okay, millennials, my generation. Currently 18 years or 30-ish, approximately 20% today are married. Compare that to the nearly 60% back in 1962. And we're seeing in my generation, there's more single people. We marry much later. I got married. How old was I when I got married? I don't even remember. I was like 27 or something. You know, I was closer to, no, I was 30. I'm 35 today, guys. I don't even remember. So we get married in my generation a little bit older than in generations before. Or we don't marry at all. There's this decline in marriage. Go ahead and write this down. There's a second thought there. Also, we're seeing an increase in divorce. There's also an increase in divorce. The divorce rate has doubled what it was since 1960. Nearly half of all marriages end in divorce. Whether, you know, that's consistent actually whether you're inside or even outside of the church, to tell you the truth. So if you looked at these two trends in our day and age, okay, decline in marriage, increase in divorce, maybe you might understand why there's this like negative connotation or view to millennials that say, you know what, maybe I just don't want to do that. It doesn't seem like it's working out like it used to. You know, a few weeks ago, our small group got together and they even shared some of their reservations about maybe marriage or like growing a family. They say things like, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married, even have kids, because I saw how messy relationships were with my parents. You know, I've heard this. I wasn't sure if I wanted to repeat that cycle. I wasn't sure if I want to do that. So it's actually no surprise that instead of marriage, we're seeing more and more couples decide to cohabitate. We're gonna write this down. Cohabitation has become normal. Okay, and cohabitation is just, you know, a couple of people who they choose to live together before marriage. It's kind of this growing trend, especially in my generation. It stems from the notion that traditional marriage or even relationships in this modern day, it's suffocating. It's like, maybe it looks like it's unhappiness that these couples are going through. Like, I don't want that. And I grew up, you know, like in the generation of like social media. You know what I'm saying? Any millennials in the house today, right? Like, I grew up in that age, thirst traps. You know what thirst trap is? Don't look it up. Internet, casual hookups, swipe left, swipe right, right? So young adults, they lean into their next best option. Hey, let's just live together. Let's see if we have, you know, if we're compatible. Let's see if we have chemistry. But the truth is this, no one is compatible. Nobody is compatible. You know what compatibility means or what it means to be compatible? It means this, able to exist or occur together without any conflict. Without any conflict. Who here has never had any conflict in your relationships? It's because we're all imperfect. It's because we're all sin. It's in our nature. And those are the current trends in my generation. Okay, that's the mystery of marriage. So how did we move so far away from like this biblical view of marriage or the model of marriage and relationships? Because guess what? It wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. Here's a second thought. I want you to write this down. Now let's look at the history of marriage. The history of marriage. Let's unpack this, okay? How did we see marriage before this phenomenon of the decline in marriage, kind of increase in divorce? See, for generations before this kind of modern decline in history, marriage was just like this assumed as the building block of civilization, like the building block of families and then how to flourish as a person. People were getting married, and that thought actually originated through scripture. See, when you look back at the book of Genesis chapter 1, you'll see how God actually starts his story, God's story, with a wedding. And God creates the first man, Adam, and he creates the first woman, Eve, and then he creates them actually for two purposes. I want you to write this down. First, for protection. He actually creates man and woman together for protection. God creates Eve out of Adam's, what is it, his? Out of his rib. Why? So that she can be close to his heart and side by side as an equal partner. Guys, she's not subservient to you. She's not subservient. Let me say that one. She's not subservient to you. She complements your being just as you complement hers. I love the word picture here. We're side by side as we take on life's challenges, as we take on life's storms, protection. But here's a second one. We are created for procreation. Genesis 1, God gives man this mandate. Be fruitful and multiply. Hello, come on, somebody. Some of y'all, that's your favorite verse today. Be fruitful and multiply. So in marriage, in God's design, we were created for the purpose of protection, but also to procreate, to have children, and or enjoyment within the bounds of a wedding or marriage relationship. For years, marriage wasn't looked at like a piece of paper between two people. Marriage was actually this sacred vow, this sacred covenant between two people and their God. Amen? Sacred vow. It was a pledge to self-denial, to love and serve each other for the rest of their lives. But somewhere along the way, okay, this marriage relationship was no longer about we, but it transformed into, I want you to write this down, it transformed into the me marriage. Instead of we, it transformed into the me marriage. And this period was a time in history called the Enlightenment. It happened around the 18th and 19th century as a new frame of thinking that kind of hit the scene that emphasized the freedom to, you know, I'm gonna choose whatever lifestyle makes me happy. What, you know, anything that can meet my needs. Well, whatever's gonna fulfill you personally. And the we marriage of championing each other side by side, self-denial, so, you know, self-sacrificial to your partner, then shifted to the me marriage. Me, it's all about my happiness. It's all about what fulfills me. It's all about whatever fulfills my needs. And the purpose of marriage was then redefined by culture. Instead of protection and procreation, it then turned into, I want you to write down, preference and pleasure. It turned into preference and pleasure. Hey, forget God's design. You know what, I don't want to give myself that, like, I got to take care of me. Do you, boo-boo, right? Do you. I want to take care of myself. Forget all that, like, you know, biblical view, like, that's old stuff. I want someone who completes me. Ever hear that? I want somebody who's all about my happiness, self-gratification. Hey, you better meet my emotional needs and my sexual fulfillment. Me, the me marriage. I'm going to put this picture up for you. The New York Times actually wrote an article called "The Happy Marriage is the Me Marriage," in which relationship goal, the main relationship goal, was basically self-fulfillment, me. The promise of this article, or the premise of the article, is that your happiness scale, it actually hinges on your partner, okay? They make your life better, hey, they enhance it, they provide fulfillment for all your needs. Hey, who's meeting my need? In this modern age of hashtag relationship goals, it's more self-fulfillment than self-denial. Now more than ever, in this digital age, people have developed this unrealistic view of what relationships looks like, or even the standards of the person they'd like to end up with. Because the goal wasn't just it wasn't no longer self-sacrificial. It wasn't for the other person. Now it's, hey, who's gonna meet all my needs? Hey, who's gonna fulfill me? Hey, are you gonna be everything to me? Do they have this, this, and that? And, you know, there's even like lists that people make. Hey, they gotta be attractive, 6'2", you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, whatever that looks like, tall, dark, and handsome. They gotta be intellectual. We gotta be able to talk about stuff. You know, romantic. Oh, he has to be emotionally supportive, of course. Financially secure. Secure, you know, they share your passions. Oh, she better not be high maintenance. She better be super low. Like, I can't handle that. So single adults today, they have like this impossible job. They're trying to find a person who like doesn't exist. Come on. Trying to find they're not real. And a lot of possible matches are like overlooked or even passed by. Because the ideal person did not like check all the boxes for their list. You know, here's a commercial that I saw that might give you a better picture of what I'm talking about. Why settle for the firefighter, ladies? You know what I'm saying? If you can get the astronaut, you know? Social media has like this unrealistic view of marriage and dating. And we now have this like this airbrushed idea of relationships. Man, married couples feel disillusioned. Like, man, I'm like alone and I can like just look up all these things and scroll and scroll and scroll, and now my marriage is like to the side. Single folks feel lonely. Like, man, they're just not reaching that standard. There's like this expectation versus reality. I'm gonna show you another video of what maybe marriage is a little bit more accurately like. Take a look at this.
Babe.
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 Ladies, the knight in shining armor, perfect in almost every single way, is the same guy with holes in his socks. He's watching sports all day, has his feet kicked up when you need a lot of help. Same guy. Gents, you're finding out now, like maybe years into your marriage, that gorgeous babe that you like tied the knot with struggles with depression and anxiety. She has to go to counseling and she has panic attacks. And it's not like that picture that you once thought. Isn't that like the reality of marriage? Isn't that the reality of what life together in relationship actually looks like? We marry someone with flaws, struggles just like us. And the world has set these warped relationship goals. And the me marriage, it sounds like super empowering, but it's actually paralyzing a whole generation. A whole generation. You know, they say love is blind, but marriage really opens your mind, doesn't it? Can I encourage you today? He or she isn't the problem. Can I get an amen for that? Hey, you're like, I don't know, Josh. Like, kind of gave me some PTSD when you showed some of those videos there. He or she isn't the problem. The problem is sin, and the problem is all of us. It's all of us. According to the Bible, we're all the wrong person. We're spiritually broken. We're all selfish. The question is, will you follow or run away, or will you follow Christ? Gonna run away? And follow Jesus. Here's number four. This is the last one. Let's take a quick look at the meaning of marriage. The meaning of marriage. Let's take a look at God's design for relationships. This is what Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to finish that verse that we started off with. It says this. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Verse 32. This is a profound mystery or mysterion. But notice, but I am talking about Christ and the church. I'm talking about Christ and the church. See, the biblical model of relationships, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's actually about Jesus and his bride, the church. Come on. See, God has a different relationship goal than us. His design was that marriage would reflect his own love towards you. I want you to write this down. Here's the last thought. Marriage reflects the gospel. Marriage actually reflects not me, not like I, what I want. Actually reflects not us, but the gospel. In other words, we're to love, to sacrifice, to wholly give ourselves, our lives to our partners as Christ did for the church. You and me. Are we going to be perfect? Of course not. We're all going to mess up. That's reality. I love what Romans says. Romans chapter 5, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. Everybody say still. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still doing the thing, while you were still scrolling on that stuff, while you were still doing everything that's really opposite of the character of God, things that break the heart of God, he still died for you and me. God demonstrated, man, he acted on his love for us. Even when, man, even me as your pastor, I go behind the back of God sometimes. Man, I sometimes I just want to do whatever it is that fulfills me. God still gave himself. Hey, that's God's love for you, amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. Notice what Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says. I love this. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, God's original design for relationships, it's not about self-fulfillment. It's actually about self-sacrifice. He gave himself up for her. I truly believe that in order for us to have this fulfilled relationship with each other, to have the capacity to love somebody else who is also broken, we first have to have a relationship with God Almighty. We first have the relationship with God. We can't do it on our own, guys. We need God's help. And some of you are struggling today in your marriage, in your relationships, in your dating life, because you don't have that yet. You haven't crossed the line of faith to say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you so you can show me how to love somebody else because I'm broken. That's you. I want you to understand something. If you, maybe you've been a part of this church for a long time, but you still like don't believe yet. Can I say this? You can belong before you believe. Can I just say that right now? You don't have to like have all the, you know, memorized verses and, you know, go every single Sunday and all that religious stuff. Hey, you can belong here even before you believe. No judgment. Hey, we'll walk it out together. That's okay. But understand this. To truly lean into God's design for a relationship, It actually starts with having a relationship with Him. Ephesians 5:21 says this, submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence for Jesus Christ. If you will set a relationship goal of looking to Jesus first, then apply the gospel to your relationship. Hey, you're not gonna need your spouse, your girlfriend, your boy. You're not gonna need that other person to fulfill your need. You're not gonna need them to do everything, to be everything for you. See, in God's design, the relationship goal isn't that your partner fulfill your every need, because that's impossible. That's never gonna happen. We could never do that. Hey, we're flawed people. It's actually liberating to know that my wife has needs that I will never fulfill, because you know what? I'm a flawed man. She has needs, you have needs, I have needs that actually can only be fulfilled through Christ Himself. And the relationship goal now shifts to you getting fulfilled, not by your partner, but fulfilled in Jesus. Amen. And when you get fulfilled in Christ, man, He empowers us to love, to forgive, to say, hey, it's okay, babe. It's all right. We're empowered to do that, not because of them, not because of us, because of Jesus. That's a far cry from the me marriage, isn't it? I love what Paul writes here as a kind of a last mandate, a command. I want you to picture this wedding in your mind. As the Apostle Paul writes this out, Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, love this, verse 27, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain, come on somebody, without wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. You know what, guys? This is how God sees you in Christ. That's how God sees you in Christ. When we come into relationship with Jesus, we have all these things in our life that we're struggling with. I make mistakes sometimes, but you know what? Jesus doesn't see that. He sees you radiant. Hello. Hey, He sees you without stain. He sees you without wrinkle. He sees you without any other blemish. He actually sees you holy and blameless. So guess what? That six pack that He used to have, you know what I'm saying, when you guys were first dating, it's now turned to a party ball. He may have put on a couple pounds. Maybe she struggles with anxiety or depression. Hey, maybe they're messy. Maybe they're not helpful. But as we set relationship goals based on God's design, we actually get empowered to see past all that. We see a beautiful, unblemished, without wrinkle, just amazing, beautiful person, just like how Jesus sees you. Isn't that good? Know this. Did you know that you're doing very important gospel work in a profound way by loving, accepting, being patient with another broken human being? It's gospel work. That's God's design for relationships. It's actually not me. It's not even you, it's Him. Can we pray together? Jesus, thank You so much for this, kind of this launch into a new series. And again, Father, I don't know it all, man. I'm struggling through my own stuff. I know there's somebody else here that is too. So would You encourage somebody today that if, man, they're just trying to survive their relationship, maybe somebody who's seeking a spouse or somebody who's lost all hope, I pray that You would make it incredibly clear of Your design for what a relationship should look like. So Father, we lean into You today. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done. In Your name, amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome, guys.